Okay, here we go. Good afternoon. My name is Taryn Isalki. I'm the Executive Director of Family Health Alliance, an NGO based in Los Angeles. Today, I'll be talking about a family planning training program that we're running in Afghanistan, and I will share with you some of the strategies that have led to its success. The title of the program is Women Behind Locked Doors, Training Male Health Providers in Family Planning, Reproductive Health as a Portal to Women in Afghanistan. No relationship to disclose. Afghanistan has the second highest maternal mortality in the world. It also has one of the highest fertility rates in the world, and its contraceptive prevalence rate is among the lowest, around 10%, and that is mostly in the major cities. The barriers to health services in Afghanistan include weak health infrastructure, shortage of trained health professionals, especially female, lack of access to health information education, transportation, security, and also taboos and cultural restrictions. For example, women in Afghanistan can only be seen by other female health providers. And because of 23 years of war and the Taliban regime, the literacy rate in Afghanistan is extremely low, especially among women. And that is contributing to the shortage of trained female health providers. The program focuses on family planning and birth spacing. As we all know, it's been proven to be an intervention that is effective, low cost in addressing maternal mortality in resource-poor environments. The program focuses on training of men because Afghanistan is an extremely male-dominated society, and men are the decision makers at all levels. How deep is this male dominance in the society? This issue was underscored during our training programs in public hospitals where we were providing family planning services to women in free clinics. Most Afghan women require their husband's permission to leave the house and to seek health care. Many of them sneak out of the house to go to family planning clinics. And if they are using a method, contraceptives, many of them have to hide it from their husbands. Also, if they are caught, there will be severe consequences for them. And this could be verbal abuse. It could also be physical violence. Now, we're talking about women in cities, areas where they can actually go to a clinic. Majority of women in Afghanistan live in the rural areas. So what about the women in rural areas? How do they access health services? You can imagine a woman who has to walk for hours to get to a clinic. That strategy of sneaking out of the house is not going to work for her. Men are definitely a major barrier to family planning in this society. They can also be contributors to family planning. Men literally control the fate of women, and if that is the case, by involving men, by bringing them on board, we can open the door to women's access to family planning services. Prior to 2007, the reproductive health training programs in Afghanistan focused on female health providers. We train doctors and nurses from the rural areas because they are a respected member of the community, and they are the ones that are in fact in contact with men in the rural areas. Very often, their male patients ask them about contraceptive methods. So the men in rural areas who are interested in getting doing birth spacing or delaying another pregnancy have to ask the male patient for, as they refer to it, medicine to take back to their wives, because many, if not all, well, majority of men in rural areas do not like for their wives to come to the clinics. So they ask the male doctor for a method. And that's when, that's why it's important for the male doctors to have this information. There's also taboos and biases among health providers. There's also misconception and misinformation about family planning among health providers. So in order to bring them on board, if they're the ones that are going to provide the information, they need to have the right information. Recognizing the significant role the men play in the society, the organization FHA designed and implemented the first male provider family planning and reproductive health training program in Afghanistan in 2007. So the program trains male doctors and nurses, mostly in the rural areas, so they can educate men in the rural communities to facilitate women's access to their family planning clinics. The goal of the program is to reduce maternal mortality and morbidity through increase in access to family planning by training male health providers as agents of change. The objectives are to promote male involvement in family planning, increase contraception knowledge, especially male methods, improve detection and treatment of STIs, and expand STI and HIV/AIDS education. The program focuses on mainly on this Ministry of Public Health staff from the rural areas. In 2007, we trained 47 male doctors and nurses in four separate three-day workshops, and in 2008, we trained an additional 42. The curriculum includes infection prevention techniques, family planning counseling, all family planning methods, female and male. Of course, the female methods are the ones that are available in Afghanistan. STIs, detection and prevention and treatment, HIV/AIDS education, and family violence and its relationship to reproductive health. The program, the teaching is done within an empowerment model. The empowerment model has several components, and I will share three of the strategies that we use during our training program. We are dealing with a post-conflict population, and as many of you working internationally are aware, that the trainees have to face many challenges in this environment. So one of the first things we do is that we try and build trust. And how do we do that? The first thing we do before we walk in and start talking about infection prevention, the correct usage of instrument, or wearing gloves and so on, we acknowledge and respect their history and their struggles. We acknowledge the fact that they've gone through a number of devastating wars. We acknowledge the fact that they work under very difficult circumstances. And we try to create an environment that for them to consider us as part of the solution, and we create an environment of trust and teamwork. Basically, we let them vent. We let them talk about the problems so we can leave it behind, so we can move forward. Otherwise, we keep hearing about the problems throughout the training program. So once we deal with everything they have to go through to make it to this training program, we move on to the solution. Our focus is on what is to be done. This is the focus of the program. For the rest of the workshop, this is what we focus on. Number two, a strategy that we use is role of agency and teamwork, and that's very important because many of these health workers, male or female, do not recognize their own potential and the contribution that they can make to their own families and their community. Another strategy is that we break with the taboos at the very beginning. We do talk about sensitive material, sensitive issues. So at the very beginning, we create an environment that they feel comfortable talking about issues such as condoms, vasectomy, and female anatomy. The program, we administer a pretest at the beginning of the workshop and a post-test at the end of the workshop. During the program, we collect qualitative data on their attitude towards male involvement in family planning. They are monitored for 60 days after the completion of the program, and this is to assess their participation and to see if there's actual behavior change in counseling, providing counseling to the male patients. There are five subcategories: birth spacing, male involvement, HIV/AIDS, condom use, and referring the wife to the family planning clinic. This is the wife of their male patients. This is our latest data, 2008 program. As you can see, the knowledge was increased from 42% to 49%, and that held through for the nurses and the doctors as well. The number of men in rural areas who receive family planning information and counseling surpassed our expectation. About 31 trainees in 2007 provided counseling information to 3,200 men during that 60-day monitoring period. And in 2008, 26 trainees out of 42 provided information to 4,470 men. We're still collecting data, and that number is increasing. So a total of 7,670 men in rural areas, and most of them for the first time, received family planning information and counseling. This is the breakdown of the monitoring, the five subcategories. And the success of this program has also led to policy changes at the Ministry of Public Health in Afghanistan to include male health providers in their family planning reproductive health training programs. The next program we're going to be implementing will be in about a week. In fact, I'm leaving in a few days for the program, and we're going to be training another 60 male health providers. To strengthen the local health system, in the spring of 2009, we are turning over this program to the ministry by implementing a TOT program where we will be training 12 master trainers who can expand this program into other provinces throughout the country. Done. Thank you.
I had said earlier when I came in that we would try to have questions at the end because I know people are trying to move. So in between sessions, so if there are any questions, we can go ahead and do that. Otherwise, I'd kind of like to keep time because I know people are in and out. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for a really interesting presentation. I was wondering if you have any information about women who were referred for services or who got services as a result of the program.
The fifth component of that monitoring process was to see if the male patients, was for the male health providers to talk to the male patients, to educate them in family planning and the importance of it, and ask to have their wives or refer their wives to come to the clinic to see the midwife. We do have the numbers of the men in rural areas that received that information, but we do not have the number of the women who actually went to the clinic. That would be another step of monitoring. And I think when we work with the Ministry of Public Health in spring of 2009, these two pilot programs that have now led to changing the policy, I'm sure that will be part of something that MOPH and our group can put together to take it a step further to see how many of women do utilize the services. It could be easily integrated into that program, absolutely. We actually do use the monitors. Our monitors are from MOPH. So the MOPH staff acts as our monitors for this program, and they turn the data into MOPH, and MOPH forwards it to us for analysis. So absolutely, we could utilize the services.
One more question, and then we're going to move on. Is there another question? Okay. The next speaker is Ana Valle Medina. And I probably massacred your name, so you can say it correctly. Thank you.
Good afternoon.